This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Later on today's show, an update on the People's Liberty Projects. Joining me first is Dr. Danny M. Cohen, Assistant Professor of Instruction at Northwestern University's School of Education and Social Policy and the Crown Family Center for Jewish and Israel Studies. He's also a learning scientist, author, and education designer, and founder of the Unsilence Project. His latest book is called Train, a novel inspired by hidden history. It tells the story of six teenagers in Nazi-occupied 1943 Berlin. Also joining us this afternoon, the Director of Education for the Center for Holocaust and Humanity Education, Alexis Storch Morris-Rowe. You can join the conversation 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Danny and Alexis, thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Mark, for having us.
Danny, can you give me a little bit more about the setting of the book? This is Berlin in 1943. What's going on at this point in time?
Yeah, so Berlin, 1943, it's winter. We are just a couple of weeks after the Battle of Stalingrad. And so the morale amongst the German people is pretty low. And something that the characters don't yet know is that the Nazis are just about to round up the remaining Jews who are still living in Berlin at this time. And they're also about to start an operation against the Roma, also known as Gypsies, who are living, being forced to live in a camp at the edge of the city.
Tell us a little about the teenagers who are the focus of this book, Danny. You've got Alexander and Ruth, Elise, Marco, Kizzy, and Sura. You've got six characters in this. Tell us a little bit about each of them.
Yeah, sure. So these characters are... The book is historical fiction. Everything within the story happened. All of the public events actually took place. But the characters themselves are fictional, but still based on real people who would have lived at the time, based on testimony. Through my research, creating these characters, I wanted to try and find a balance between different perspectives. I wrote this book to try and give voice to what we might call these hidden stories of the Holocaust. Usually we hear about the Jewish victims, but we rarely hear about the Nazis' Roma victims, disabled victims, homosexual victims, and political targets as well. And so I wanted to create a group of people that young people today would be able to relate to, that whose lives were intertwined, would be really sort of exciting to hear about from these different perspectives.
Alexis, tell us some about the Center for Holocaust and Humanity Education and why it's involved with TRAIN.
Sure. So our center, the Center for Holocaust and Humanity Education, we're located here in Cincinnati on Montgomery Road. And we've invited Danny to be, actually he's going to be presenting in our annual meeting tomorrow evening at the center. We're definitely keeping him busy while he's here in Cincinnati. He'll also be presenting at Wyoming High School on Friday. And then an evening program, we're partnering with the Mercantile Library Friday evening, and then a full day teacher workshop on Saturday as well at the center. And we've been working with Danny quite a bit on kind of at the start of TRAIN. In fact, Cincinnati at our center was one of the first times that, hopefully I could say this, Danny, that a group of educators came together and actually explored an excerpt from TRAIN. So it's very exciting to have Danny back with this finished project. I know we have already 36 teachers registered, so we're very excited for Danny to be here and to share this work. And his work fits very well in our educational philosophy at the center, which is that to kind of show how all these individual perspectives can come together and to highlight the complexities of the Holocaust and also to give us a better understanding of it. So we're really excited to have Danny here to present and spread his message around the area.
Danny, what was the process? It almost sounds like this book evolved, that you didn't just set off and do it in a straight line, that this is something that you did. Am I getting the feeling correct here, that this was kind of a step-by-step process that you were following as you wrote this book?
That's exactly right. I like to say I didn't set out to write a novel. I kind of wrote it accidentally. So I started, and this is many years back, we're talking maybe 6 years ago now, and Alexis and I were working together with the Illinois Holocaust Museum Education Center. So we go back many years, and I started to create programming to help educators teach about these hidden narratives of the Roma, disabled, homosexuals, and others. And the curriculum that I designed, we got some feedback from teachers who called it pretty dry, pretty encyclopedic. And some teachers said to me, do you have any fiction that you could recommend? And there is some fiction out there, but the teachers that we were working with didn't have time to teach one book about the Roma and one book about homosexuals and one book about the disabled. They said, do you have some fiction where all of these narratives come together? And I said, I don't know of any. And so to cut a long story short, I started to create these sort of historically accurate fictional vignettes representing each victim group. And before I knew it, I was suddenly writing a full-on novel with all of these stories interconnecting and overlapping.
Well, what were some of the things you did, Danny, to research the historic points that are in the book?
Yeah. As I mentioned before, listening to lots of testimony and listening to lots of historical accounts was my main source. But there were some unexpected moments in my research. My most favorite moment is when a colleague of mine suggested that to get the feeling of the book really right, I should start to look at photographs of Berlin from the period and to really get the descriptions and the setting right. And I realized that as I was describing a moment in the book where one of the characters is running through the city, I couldn't quite figure out which direction the character was running in, how long it would take her to get from point A to point B. And so I went online and found some really great maps. It sounds like I'm about to promote Google, but I use Google Maps.
It is amazing.
Google Earth, which amazingly, Google Earth has a historical function, and I accidentally found this feature where I could go back in time in the map itself, and suddenly I'm looking at a map from 2013, it was at the time, and suddenly I'm looking at a map in 1943, and so it was actually the map that helped me not only describe the city, but it also dictated the different plot points, if you like, because suddenly we have different structures that are visible and that are still standing before Berlin is bombed. And we have sort of hidden roads and bridges that no longer stand that I was able to incorporate into the story. And so the maps kind of changed the direction of the plot a little bit.
And I was just going to add that at our center as well, a lot of teachers were coming to us and they were asking some of the similar questions that Danny received as well, that there was this desire to figure out a way to incorporate Jewish and non-Jewish victims into their units on the Holocaust that they had with their students. And what we found was often teachers were, I don't think any teacher would ever intentionally not include non-Jewish victims, but they didn't necessarily have the resources they need to do it in an intentional and an authentic way. And so I think how, you know, how Danny is describing just the amount of research that went into, I mean, he's only, I think, giving kind of this top layer, the surface level, but just the amount of research that went into this book, I guess I can't describe enough as his colleague, but also, again, having this opportunity for us Cincinnatians, for him to be in our area, just the opportunity we have now to have this resource, this gap in Holocaust education, I think really, or in Holocaust literature, can be filled by this novel, that now teachers have this resource they can use to bring this to their students in a way where they can feel very confident that they're also bringing them something that's pretty historically accurate as well. So I just want to kind of echo that we've also received some of those similar questions and just how critical this research has been.
Well, that's an interesting point, too, that you brought up, because the teenagers themselves, there's several of them who are Jewish, and mm-hmm. there are several non-Jewish right. teenagers as well. And Danny, that goes back to what Alexis was talking about. You wanted to talk about how the Holocaust affected more than just the Jewish people, right?
Right, that's right, exactly. And Alexis, maybe you can speak more to this. As Alexis said, teachers want to teach these histories, but either they don't have the resources to do so, or they fall into the trap of attempting to, but kind of getting it wrong and resorting to what we might call a false universalism, where we fall into the trap of teaching about all these different victim groups as if they were persecuted for the same reasons and in the same ways, but we know that's not true. Each of these groups was persecuted for unique reasons and in a very specific, unique way. There is obviously some overlap and connections between the narratives, and that's something that I wanted to do with the story, and the story helped to highlight those connections. But at the same time, the story also highlights the important differences between how each group was persecuted and why the Nazis persecuted them.
Danny, tell us about the Unsilenced Project and how that all fits in with the book.
Yeah, sure. So Unsilenced Project is a brand new nonprofit that I founded that came out of TRAIN. And so TRAIN was always intended for classrooms. It's interestingly that the audience has amazingly gone beyond that, and we're finding that adults and the general public are getting their hands on it. But the main focus has always been young people and helping educators to teach this history. And so naturally, as a learning scientist and education designer, my goal was always to create educational programming and also teacher training to go along with the book. All of the educational programming that we're developing is available for free online at unsilenced.org, if you'll allow my little plug.
And sure, we have a link to that on our website, wvxu.org, as well, Danny. So, yeah, go right ahead.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you. So the idea behind Unsilenced Project, we realized that we were doing something really new and something really exciting and different in a way that was maybe changing how Holocaust genocide and human rights education was being perceived and looked like. We were suddenly focusing on what we might call these marginalized, taboo and hidden stories of human rights. And so what Unsilenced Project does, even though TRAIN is the inaugural text of Unsilenced Project and Overlapping Triangles is the inaugural program that companies train, Unsilenced Project goes way beyond just Holocaust history, and we started to focus on other taboo and marginalized narratives of human rights. So that would include helping high school teachers, for example, teach about modern-day atrocity and, let's say, sexual violence. And how do we help young people learn about sexual violence in a way that is appropriate, that minimizes what we might call vicarious trauma and doesn't traumatize students. We're also in the works. We have a number of other programs that address issues around transgender rights and issues around mass incarceration in the United States, the death penalty, and many other topics that teachers and parents often struggle with and often don't know exactly how to raise in the classroom or at home or in communities.
We will continue our conversation with Danny M. Cohen and Alexis Storch Morris Rowe. And you can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. My guests this afternoon are Dr. Danny M. Cohen. His latest book, Train, tells the story of six teenagers trying to avoid the Nazi roundups in 1943 Berlin. Also joining us this afternoon, the Director of Education for the Center for Holocaust and Humanity Education, Alexis Storch Morris Rowe. You can join us, 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Danny, the Holocaust ended 70 years ago. Why is it important to remember that point in our history, the whole Holocaust? Why is it so important to teach to the younger generation?
I think that the Holocaust represents really this moment in human history where the modern technology met modern thought, and the Nazis were really the first to industrialize mass murder. I mean, genocide has been going on forever. But this is the first time that we have a government and their collaborators sitting down and planning out the most efficient way to annihilate a whole group of people and many groups of people in society.
Alexis?
And so to add to that, I would say also, you know, we're becoming more and more aware that we are the last generation to have the opportunity to hear from Holocaust survivors. And often when we work with students and teachers, you know, we have found that it's hearing from the testimonies of these survivors and hearing their stories that after hearing the story of a survivor who survived Auschwitz or who was able to escape the Nazi regime, that the students have almost this overwhelming feeling of, well, if they can do that, then I can do this, or I have the potential to do more in my community as well. And so I think, you know, in addition to what Danny said, that I think students are in some ways drawn to this history as well. I think they find, in whatever way, they find a connection to it. I mean, we hear from teachers all the time that they can put so many books in front of their students, but it's the memoir of the Holocaust that their students really connect with. And so I think, it's again, just thinking about the testimony of the survivors, about why it's just so important to keep sharing these stories with young people and anyone as well.
Danny, you actually let a Holocaust survivor look at the completed draft of the book. Were you nervous about what her reaction might be?
So Ava Kadishin-Sheba gifted one of her art pieces to be the cover. I worked closely with Ava. She's a writer herself. She's an artist. Scared to share it with her because I was excited just to see what she would say, and I knew that she wouldn't judge, so to speak. But I think I was scared to put the book out there. I was scared to sort of get to the final draft, the final version, because I was nervous about whether or not I had represented these voices properly. And so having Ava's input and having many other people's input, people who actually lived during the Nazi era, was so helpful and sort of, I think, gave me that little bit of confidence to say, yes, I think I have actually represented this history accurately and authentically. And so one example.
I would agree.
One example is there's one character who responds to another character who comes out as gay. And in an earlier version, I realized that I'd written the character as if she was living in 2016, she was, her response was really warm and open and welcoming, and I realized I had to change her response and made one of the heroes of the book actually sort of reveal her homophobia against her brother. Not to say that there weren't people who were tolerant at the time, but to have sort of one of the heroines of the story be entirely tolerant felt inauthentic. And so finding that authentic voice is something that I struggled with, and in the end, I think I got to a good place.
And Danny, you were saying that the Ava, actually, this was a piece of Ava's artwork that we're seeing on the cover of the book. It's six line figures, best way I can describe it for radio, six line figures who are intertwined to each other. And I guess that's to show the interconnection of the six characters in the novel, right?
Yes. Interestingly, Ava didn't draw this in response to the book. This was a piece, she has many pieces, and it's a piece that once she read Train, she chose this for its cover. So really incredibly, I feel like when I look at the picture, I can see which figures are which character. I think that's open to interpretation, of course, but the fact that this image already existed, this artwork already existed, and she paired it with the book is quite amazing.
Why the color red? How did that come about?
That's an interesting story that involves my 5-year-old daughter, who was then four, maybe 3.5 or 4. The original drawing was in black and white. A lot of Ava Kadish and Shiva's drawings are monochrome. And when I showed the cover to my family, to my husband and my daughter, in only the way a 4-year-old can, said, "I don't like it." And I said, "Why?" And she said, "It's not colorful." And we played around with colors and we landed on red and it looked great. But I was really worried that I had sort of maybe spoiled the integrity of Ava's work. And so I said, we'll only change the color if Ava gives us the thumbs up. And when we showed the new red cover to Ava pointed to a painting that hangs in her living room and pointed to the color red. And she said, "Yes, it must be red because red is life." So it must be red.
Wow. Are you planning to do a follow-up to Train?
I do have a... This is an important question, actually. So I know what happens to each of the characters beyond the pages of the book. So the book only spans 10 days in 1943. And not to give away too much, but it is a story that has somewhat of an open ending. So we have these six characters, and all six of them, we leave them at a certain point on the last pages. And many people have said, "Well, but what happens to all these characters? Because there's still 2 years left of the war." And so I do know what happened to each of these characters. We only know what happened because of what history tells us. And so I probably could write a sequel, but the whole point of me writing Train was to get young people to be excited and interested and engaged with the history. So the sequel is actually the accompanying curriculum. It's up to young people in the classroom. It's up to a teacher, a middle school teacher or a high school teacher, to teach the book and to then say to the students, "Okay, now we've just left these characters at the end of these 10 days. It's now your job to go into the history and figure out what would have happened to each of the characters, knowing what we know." And so really, it's up to the students themselves to construct the sequel through their own historical research.
Danny, you'll be talking in Cincinnati. What can we expect from the talk that you're going to be giving?
Which one?
Alexis.
Alexis, the one that's coming up. What's the date on that?
Oh, so we have our, I was going to say, we're keeping him so busy. Which talk are you referring to? So he'll be speaking first tomorrow evening.
Friday at the Mercantile, right?
Well, first, actually, tomorrow, Thursday, okay. October 1st at our annual meeting.
I'm way off on the week.
I know, right? We have so many. And so he'll be speaking. So that's October 1st, and that begins reception at 6. And then the program starts at around 6:30 p.m. Make sure we start on time, of course. And that'll be at the Holocaust Center. And so you'll get to first hear Danny speak then, and also get to hear about our year in review as well. And then the public program at the Mercantile Library on Friday at 5 p.m. If you're an educator, we always have space available for educators. So Danny will also be leading a teacher workshop, and all teachers, because with the generosity of the Ohio Humanities, we're able to provide all the teachers who attend the workshop with a complimentary copy of Train. So that's on Saturday from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m.
And Danny, real quick, what's your basic message going to be when you're talking to people here?
My basic message, my punchline, if you like, and this maybe answers your question before about why is the Holocaust still relevant. So many of the communities that were persecuted by the Nazis are still being persecuted today. Mm-hmm. The Holocaust didn't magically end in 1945 at liberation. Anti-Semitism continued. It didn't disappear. Prejudice against Roma people in Europe is at an all-time high right now, particularly in Eastern Europe, but also in Western Europe. Prejudice against lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people is still something that we're facing not only around the world, but also in Europe, where the Nazis persecuted the same communities. And we also had prejudice against people with disabilities, too. And so it's not as if this history just lives in the past. It bleeds into our present. This is really, I think, why I wrote Train and why I do my work.
Well, Danny, Alexis, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Dr. Danny M. Cohen, Assistant Professor of Instruction at Northwestern University's School of Education and Social Policy and the Crown Family Center for Jewish and Israel Studies. His new book is Train, a novel inspired by hidden history. And Alexis Storch, Director of Education for the Center for Holocaust and Humanity Education. Coming up, we'll have an update on People's Liberty and the projects that it's working on. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.